got a friend in me. You've got a friend in me. When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed.
Well, speaking of friends, friend of KPCC and Air Talk, Randy Newman, with, of course, his great song from Toy Story. Friendship is important in just about everyone's lives, but for some people, a friend or friends are the central relationship that really serves the same sort of intimate purpose as a romantic relationship, but without romance, without sex. Platonic but very deep relationship. Sometimes with people living together, other times if they don't cohabit, at least they're spending time together so much that it is a primary relationship that's a friendship that's deep and non-sexual. If that describes you, I'd like to hear from you and how people react to that, what that relationship provides you with, and in what ways it is able to fulfill the role that for most people the romantic committed relationship does. 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. You can post on the Air Talk Facebook page, or you can tweet at Air Talk. With me is the author of a recent piece in The Atlantic, What If Friendship, Not Marriage, Was at the Center of Life? Raina Cohen is also producer and editor of narrative podcasts at NPR. Raina, so good to have you with us.
I'm so happy to be able to talk about it.
What got you interested in this topic?
For very personal reasons, I ended up down this topic. I found myself in a very intense friendship just a few years ago. And I felt like it was nothing I had experienced before, that I didn't have any kind of terminology or category for it. I could see a little bit in popular culture. I saw Oprah and Gayle King, and I saw the women in Broad City and other TV shows. But beyond that, it seemed pretty incomprehensible to other people. And I wanted to understand how something really just like so fulfilling and wonderful wasn't part of our lexicon. And I knew a little bit about history of these sorts of relationships, of these sorts of friendships, and that ended up sort of sending me down a rabbit hole, both in the history and to see what contemporary friendships that are this intense, you know, that you describe at the top, what they're like.
And what is the history of these types of platonic but deep and intense relationships?
Yeah, I mean, these sorts of friendships go back many, many centuries. Some of the people that I've interviewed who are particularly religious and Christian have pointed to examples like David and Jonathan in the Bible of the covenant friendship that they have, that the ways that they sacrificed for each other, and that their friendship was so, their devotion was so intense that it was supposed to pass from generation to generation, that kind of commitment. So it goes back a very long time, these sorts of devoted friendships. The period that I focus on in the piece and that are often talked about is running from around the 18th century to the turn of the 20th century. And this is when you'd find what people call romantic friendships. So they're relationships with a lot of affection. One example that comes to mind is Daniel Webster, after he had to part ways with his friend because they moved to different towns, that he said he felt like the dove that had lost his mate. Frederick Douglass, the abolitionist, talked about how it was one of the things that made it hard for him to, or I think maybe that he said the hardest thing to contemplate escaping slavery was leaving behind the friends that he loved. Between women, you see a lot of deep affection in their letters that essentially read like love letters. A lot of physical intimacy of men and pairs of men or pairs of women sharing beds or falling asleep on the other's bosom. There, it's a level of kind of intensity and friendship that we're not used to. And both friendships and romantic relationships were very different. And that kind of created space for, I think, what feels a little bit like a gray zone to people, in modern times, that they have a lot of the trappings of romantic relationships, especially when these are same-sex relationships, of queer relationships. But I think a lot of them were platonic in the sense that there's no sex involved, but that there was much deeper intimacy and commitment than what we often find in friendships today.
We're talking with Raina Cohen, who wrote a piece for The Atlantic titled "What If Friendship, Not Marriage, Was at the Center of Life." Let's talk with listener Andy in downtown Los Angeles. Andy, does this resonate with you?
Yes, it resonates very deeply with me. I've had my friend since we were sleepmates in college. We've lived in different places. We've traveled around the country together, outside of the country. And I've never had a boyfriend, so I've never had that deep, deep intimacy. So to have her as a friend for about 7 years now, she's my rock. Like, when we were living in different cities, we would just talk for hours and FaceTime, and we just lived together, but she just moved out, and it's like losing, you know, even though we're still in the same city, it's just like losing that rock where I could just like knock on her door and spend hours in her room. It's really an amazing thing to have someone like that, that is not a sexual relationship, but just something so deep that really meaningful to me.
Yet you describe this beautifully, Andy. You really give a sense of it. Do your other friends, your family members, do they understand your friendship?
I think they do. You know, it's interesting because we've had like ups and downs, of course, and sometimes, you know, family members love to hold on to those things, but I just live and let go, because when you find those people that mean something to you, you don't let the little things stay with you, you know? And I think they do get it, because I talk about her constantly. All my friends, even if they don't know her name constantly.
They probably do know her in a sense, Andy. Thank you so much. Great to have your call. That's Andy in downtown Los Angeles. We'll continue with Raina Cohen. What if friendship, not marriage, was at the center of life? Her Atlantic piece, we're talking about deep friendships that are platonic, but serve the very similar function of deep romantic, committed romantic relationships. 866-893-KPCC. We'll be back in a minute. It's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. We're talking about deep friendship, a friendship relationship that is the central intimate relationship in one's life. The pinnacle relationship, so to speak, a platonic one, but one that isn't just a substitute for marriage, but is the central intimate relationship in one's life. We're hearing from listeners for whom that's true. 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Christian in Pasadena, good to have you with us.
Hi. Just to share my comment, you know, my deep platonic friendships, people that I've had in my life, have a really deep spiritual and emotional intimacy. And as someone who is a survivor of suicide and has had mental health issues, I really find that those relationships are the ones that have sustained me in my hardest times. Sometimes when romantic relationships wouldn't have been able to lift me up.
And Christian, elaborate a little bit on that. What is it the platonic friendships are able to give you? Maybe it's the absence of something that's there in a romantic relationship, but why has it worked better, particularly when you've been in crisis?
You know, I think it's because I know when I call those people that we've had experiences that form trust in a way that remove that sense of trying to, sometimes having to feel like you have to put a mask on to make an impact in a romantic setting that I have felt in my life.
All right. Hey, Christian, thank you for calling. And it's wonderful to hear about how those friendships, those deep friendships have helped you. It's good to hear from you. Christian in Pasadena, 866-893-KPECC, or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Kimbrough in North Hollywood says, I have very deep, lifelong friends. I'm a straight man, and when I do have a romantic relationship, I find it easier to be close with the female friends in my life because the romantic tension is out of the picture. That's Kimbrough in North Hollywood. We're talking with Raina Cohen, author of the Atlantic piece, What If Friendship, Not Marriage, Was at the Center of Life. Raina, at what point did this understanding of deep, intimate friendship start shifting?
So this started to change around the early 20th century. So there were a few different things that I think made these sorts of friendships possible earlier, and those all kind of made a big change around this time. So some of the things that had kind of propped up these friendships earlier was that the social spheres for men and women were so divided that it was kind of understood that you would relate much more deeply to somebody of your own gender than a different one. It was also the case that, you know, some of the things that I was talking about around physical intimacy were, you know, there were different norms, and part of that had to do with the absence of an idea of homosexuality and heterosexuality that we now sort of take for granted, that the person you have sex with is going to define you, you know, in some fundamental way. It used to be that sodomy was, you know, was illegal in a lot of places, you know, but that it didn't necessarily define you as a person if you had sex with somebody of the same gender. And also that, you know, in terms of women's relationships with one another, that they could be very sweet and cute, but they weren't really threatening to marriages because women ultimately had to rely on a man for her economic well-being. And all that started to change around the turn of the 20th century. You started to have women who, black women were sort of always working, but white women were able to sort of go into the workforce and to earn money for themselves. And some of them sort of paired up and had what were called Boston marriages. And they could live without, you know, together without a man, and that was threatening. You also had the introduction of the idea of homosexuality and the sense that there was something wrong with desire for somebody of the same gender, and those ideas from sexologists spread, and things that were innocent were no longer considered innocent. And also you have the sort of gender division isn't so stark. And, you know, it used to be that marriage also had a different idea than what we now think of, especially in the latter sort of half of the 20th century and beyond, that we expect that your partner, that your spouse is supposed to be your best friend. Before, there was a lot more room within marriage to have other people in your life. It was common until about 1850 to have friends and relatives join newlyweds on their honeymoon. People lived in bigger households. Just the idea that your spouse was supposed to be everything wasn't common. Wasn't the prevailing idea.
I'm laughing because my grandparents, right after they got married in the Midwest, came west on old Route 66, and you know, with their parents and family and all, you know, camping, car camping, essentially, as they came west to Los Angeles. And my grandmother always ruefully described their honeymoon. Robin in Huntington Beach, share with us your deep friendship.
I've had a friendship with a friend since eighth grade. I'm 66 now, so it's been a while. And when I look back at the notes, we're still very close. We're still best friends. When I look back at the notes we wrote to each other, they sound just like love letters. I was very struck by what your guest said.
Robin, that's great. And she's still your friend. Is the friendship, would you say, generally the same, or has it evolved a lot in the intervening years?
I would say that it's still just as intense in the sense that we both call each other our best friend. We live further apart and don't spend as much time together, but I don't think either of us would take that word away as best friend, because we've been tight since eighth grade.
That's great.
A long time.
It's wonderful. Robin in Huntington Beach, thank you so much. Raina Cohen, before I close, just real quickly, there are financial aspects to this too, of course, if you have property that's being held by two close friends that are living together. Is the law equipped for this?
A lot of the friends that I've spoken to have found their own kind of piecemeal ways to get recognition through the law, whether that is buying a house together, becoming medical or legal powers of attorney, things along those lines. But I don't think that the law is really in a place to handle these sorts of relationships, unless kind of the notion of marriage being associated with sort of sexual and romantic feelings, unless that would change. And one of the people I cite talking about this is Elizabeth Brake, a philosopher. And I think that she says we could change the law to make recognition for these friendships possible.
Thank you so much, Raina. Just such a great piece to kick off this conversation and to raise this with our listeners. I know it connects with a lot of them. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Raina Cohen, who's a producer and editor of narrative podcasts at NPR and author of the Atlantic piece, What If Friendship, Not Marriage, Was at the Center of Life. Thank you so much for joining us on Air Talk today on KPCC. Fresh Air with Terry Gross is next. 1 o'clock, All Things Considered with Austin Cross. Abundant local news every day. Austin with the KPCC Newsroom brings that to you. And then Take Two with A. Martinez. And we know he's going to be talking about the Dodgers, too. That's at 2 o'clock. Have a great day, and yay, Dodgers.